You're listening to the Christmas Podcasts podcast.
Gonna hurt a little bit, isn't it?
Fred, I'm not gonna lie to you. It ain't gonna tickle.
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Ow! Son of a nutcracker!
How many fingers am I holding up, Marv?
Do you hear it? It's a funny squeaky sound.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
Shh. Hello, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Christmas Podcast podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Sean, and as the burr months continue on, the podcasts are starting to increase their output of episodes. In this week's episode, I'll get you up to date on all those new episodes this week and talk with Tim Babb from Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by MyMerryChristmas.com, the internet's largest Christmas website and the longest ongoing celebration of Christmas featuring the world's largest and most active Christmas community. Also, check out ChristmasPodcasts.com, where you can find the links to all the podcasts I talk about and leave a review of the podcasts. There's a lot of episodes that dropped this week, so let's not waste time.
I knew I was handing Miss Shields a masterpiece.
Well, we haven't added any new podcasts to the website this week, but a couple of the podcasts on our site are doing some fun activities. As a matter of fact, I'll let them tell you about it.
Hello, this is Todd from the Christmas Clattered Podcast. One of the great things about Christmas is the busyness of the season, the running around, the decorating, the shopping, the visiting family and friends. But another great thing about Christmas is the chance to unwind, to take a big deep breath and relax away from work and school and everyday life. A great way to rest and relax is to work a puzzle. That's right, a jigsaw puzzle. They've been around for, seems like, forever. But they're a great way to relax your mind and ease the stress of the holidays. There's nothing better than turning on those classic crooners like Bing and Frank Sinatra, Andy Williams, and being gathered around the kitchen table with your closest friends and your closest family, working a puzzle together. Well, here at Christmas Clatter, we are putting together a Christmas puzzle exchange. This gives you an opportunity to receive and send a Christmas puzzle to one of our great listeners. If you would like to participate in the Christmas Clatter Christmas Puzzle Exchange, please send an email to ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com. And in the email, please put your name and your address, and please put Christmas Puzzle Exchange in the subject line. Please do this before October 2nd, and together we can all be around our table with our friends and family, working a puzzle together, and making the most of every second of this Christmas season. That email again is ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com. Happy puzzling, and remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.
This is Craig Kringle from the Weird Christmas Podcast. About 3 years ago, I went looking for very short, very strange stories that I could read on my show, but I couldn't find much, or not much that was sufficiently weird, so I thought, why not ask people to write some? And thus was born the annual Weird Christmas Flash Fiction Contest. You can get all the details at weirdchristmas.com, but basically, I'm asking you to tell me a story that keeps Christmas weird. That can be funny weird, or creepy weird, or just plain what the nutcracker surreal. Keep it under 350 words, send it to weirdxmas@gmail.com by November 1st, and you could win some cash. Prizes range from $5 to $50, and I choose about a dozen to read on the show and publish on my website. Head over to weirdchristmas.com to see the winners and honorable mentions from the last couple years. Here's a quick sample to get that creative eggnog flowing.
He glanced in terror at the other reindeer galloping beside him. Its eyes were as blue and as human as his were.
He dropped Bill's head on his body and used his incinerator to fry Bill until he was dust. I guess I'm going to have a Merry Christmas after all.
He felt himself shrinking till he couldn't have been more than a couple of inches high. a huge hand picked him up and placed him on the mantelpiece beside another motionless Santa.
People don't like the baby Jesus to go missing from their nativity scene, they said. I shrugged. People were petty.
I'm sorry there was no Santa, but I did provide an elf.
Number 4 was a grand old patriarch, but we were ready for him. When he came crashing down the chimney, sermon in mid-flow, he landed right in the net we had tied to the mantelpiece.
Traditions are great and all, but sometimes you just need Christmas to get a little bit weird. And I'm hoping you'll help me make it even weirder. So visit me at weirdchristmas.com, and I hope I'll get to read your stories soon.
Hi everyone, this is Art from A Cozy Christmas Podcast, where we celebrate the coziest time of the year. And this is where I need your help. I want to hear from you and hear about your favorite Christmas memory. You can send that to me either in an email or a voice message, and I'll play it on my show. And it can be any kind of memory. It could be one that makes you laugh, one that makes you cry, one that makes you want to bang your head in frustration over and over and over again. I know we all have those. So if you want to be a part of that upcoming show, then you can reach out to me at cozychristmaspodcast@gmail.com. And if you do, I'll send you a Cozy Christmas Podcast sticker. Along with that, you will be entered into a contest, and the drawing will be held on October 15th, and you could win a hand-painted Ebenezer Scrooge ornament. If you want to see what that looks like, you can check those out on my social media accounts. And so in the meantime, remember to be kind to each other and share your stories. I can't wait to hear them, and have a very merry Christmas season.
Yo, Bob! Break's over!
Here are the new episodes that dropped September 12th through September 18th. Jingle Jank dropped one on September 13th called Disco Christmas Songs. Do you like to get down and groove to Christmas disco music? This week, Scott and Jay discuss Disco Christmas by the Universal Robot Band, Joy to the World by South Soul Orchestra, Silver Bells by Mirror Image, Gloria Medley by Les Jokers, Donde Está Santa Claus by Charo, Christmas Wrapping by Curtis Blow, Santa Claus Noel by Holiday Express, and Sleigh Ride by Irwin the Disco Duck. Tis a Podcast had an episode on September 14th called I'm at One with the Yuletide, know what I mean? This week, at long last, the elves discussed the beloved 1988 Christmas family film, Ernest Saves Christmas. Anthony, once again finding himself on an island alone, sets the tone for this conversation early on in the history portion of the episode, in which he goes on his most passionate, and some might say unhinged, rant since the host covered Arthur Christmas, one that clocks in at just under 5.5 minutes. Julia and Tom, meanwhile, have more good feelings of comfort and joy regarding this film, fueled in large part by nostalgia. While there is an enormous divide between the New Yorker and the two Oklahomans, this is still a fun, laugh-a-plenty episode that culminates with the elves discussing their different Advent traditions and Julia pulling a fast one on Tom and nailing a joke that he's been trying to land for weeks now. So open up those windows, let in those autumn breezes, settle back with your favorite pumpkin drink, and enjoy. Totally Rad Christmas had an episode on September 14th called Rudolph's Shiny New Year with Craig Kringle. This week, Jerry is joined by Craig Kringle, host of the Weird Christmas Podcast, to talk about the bonkers Rankin and Bass special, Rudolph's Shiny New Year. How is Rudolph young again? What do you mean the baby New Year named Happy ran away? Oh yeah, and watch for a crazed giant vulture who's trying to cheat death. This one has it all, so check it out. A Cozy Christmas Podcast dropped an episode on the 15th called Puzzles, Poems, and Santa with a Stick. Art talks about some Christmas music he had recently enjoyed. Then he reads and chats about some Christmas poems. Some are familiar, some are new, and one or two were interesting. Better watch out, Santa has a stick. Art also has a way to get a free Cozy Christmas Podcast sticker and entry into a drawing for a hand-painted ornament. You heard about that earlier in his promo. The Poetry Corner theme was written by his son, Ryan, and I heard the Bells on Christmas Day segment music was also arranged by Ryan. Isn't he awesome? Christmas Clatter dropped an episode on the 15th called Do You Hear What I Hear? Podcast Edition. Todd explores the world of Christmas podcasts. The Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas Podcast dropped an episode on the 15th called Christmas Cures for the COVID Blues, Part 1. We're all wondering, what will Christmas 2020 bring? But Christmas isn't canceled, and Ricky and Mary want to help by offering you ideas and inspiration for this upcoming season with their new series, Christmas Cures for the COVID Blues. In this first episode of this special series, Ricky and JJ of Christmas Music News talk about what's new, what are our old favorites, and what better way to get ready for the holidays than with a boost from Christmas music. Santa by the Minute had their weekly episode drop on the 16th, titled Minute 25, Season's Greetings. It's finally happening. Get ready to shake hands and dance around the circle because Season's Greetings is finally here. John and Ben try to figure out the meaning of this very vaguely explained elf ritual with the help of the novel. Join them as they talk about Minute 25 of Santa Claus the Movie from 1985. And Mary Britsmas had an episode on the 17th titled Lonely This Christmas. In this episode, as we dive into the Burr months, Adam discusses a sad glam song, the horror of banning Christmas, and a Jewish comedy Christmas celebration. He also recommends some other audio festivity for your ears and reveals the results of the World Cup of Doctor Who Christmas episodes.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Well, I'm joined now by Tim Babb from Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, one of the first podcasts I've ever listened to and I have enjoyed ever since. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. You are a comedian, as anybody who's listened to your podcast knows. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your podcast?
Well, let's see. I am, like you said, a stand-up comedian. And I just hit 1 year where I just felt like I didn't get enough Christmas in my life. And ever since that year, I've been like, I needed an outlet for once I missed that 1 year, I felt like I was so busy for that one Christmas. I felt like I've been constantly making up for it ever since. And so I decided to make a podcast where I just talk about all my favorite Christmas things and sometimes learn about new Christmas things. And that's what I do. It's on the 25th of every month, or Rudolph Day, which is a thing that most people don't know is a thing.
Well, we're part of MyMerryChristmas.com also. So yeah, you and I both know that's a huge thing.
I mean, we know.
Right.
We are the wizened few souls who have learned this important knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking up some of your bio on your website, can'twaitforchristmas.com, and it says, I noticed some things that I didn't know about because you really don't talk about it, is you've worked with Christopher Titus, Sinbad, Weird Al.
Yes.
That's amazing.
All of those were pretty cool, especially Weird Al, because I not only got to open for him, this was on the Poodle Hat Tour when it rolled through Santa Clara, California. I also got to interview him before the show.
Yeah, I've met him too when I was going to school for radio, and what a guy. I mean, you wouldn't think he'd be as introverted as he is.
Yeah.
When you see him on stage or in his music and videos.
One of the things he was saying is like that he wasn't, like he didn't dance. I was like, you don't dance? I was like, I've seen, there's video proof that you dance. He's like, yeah, jumping around like a maniac is one thing, but actually dancing like that, that's not something he's into. I thought that was kind of cute.
That's one thing I took from him. He's a very humble guy too. One of my favorites. So yeah, like you started in July of 2015. And like I said, I listened in on episode 2 or 3 and have been listening ever since. What were your expectations when you first started up Can't Wait for Christmas?
I don't know. I don't know that I expected anything. I was hopeful that there were other, I mean, I searched the internet to see if there was like people who were interested in Christmas. Like I knew there were shops about like that had Christmas all year. And I, you know, there was at least a marginal interest for people, but I didn't know if it translated into like, I want to hear about Christmas all year. So I don't know how much interest I expected initially. But I've got a pretty good little following. I mean, it's not huge. It's not lighting the internet on fire or anything, but it's enough people that I feel compelled to try and make the show better every time.
Speaking of which too, I know at one time you took out your outtakes, which is my personal favorite of your podcast, is listening to your outtakes. How much of a backlash was there once you did that, and what convinced you to bring them back?
Well, it was only for one episode, and really, it was an overly long episode anyway, and I wanted to put, there was some sort of music clip. I think it was me singing something. I can't remember what, but there was some audio clip that I wanted to put at the end of the episode. I'm like, it's gonna be super awkward to put that. And like, there was no way there was no good way to work that, whatever that audio was, in the body of the episode. But if I put it at the end, after the end announcements, I was like, oh, that would work. But then would I put the outtakes after that? And coincidentally, there had been an iTunes review in while I was getting the show ready that was like, the only thing I don't like about the show is the outtakes. And so then I made it a bit where that made me super sad that this person didn't like the outtakes and I was going to take him out. And I brought him back the very next episode only because I no longer had a random bit of audio that I needed to play at the end. But yeah, there was a lot of like, wait, the outtakes is one of my favorite parts. I was like, well, that I'm, also truthfully, that episode, I did not have that many good out. Like, I always have outtakes. I want to make that clear. I am terrible at reading. Even if I wrote it, I am terrible at reading it back. Uh-huh. But sometimes, like, especially when I'm really under the gun, like the outtakes are just me getting angry at myself. And sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's not suitable for a family podcast. And that was one of those weeks.
Yeah. And you do keep your podcast very, very family friendly, which I really enjoy and really like myself. And I was recording the Christmas podcast one time and I couldn't get one sentence that I wrote down right. And I'm like, oh, I feel like Tim Babb.
Welcome to my life.
So, but for your fifth anniversary listener special, I was online with you. And
yes, you were nice enough to join us for that. Thank you.
And it was my pleasure. I mean, it's like I said, listening to you, you're a funny guy. I mean, absolutely hilarious. Some people may not think so, but that's their opinion. I think you're
a good amount of people don't think so. So you don't worry about them. I don't.
So I always enjoy listening to them. 5 years. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah. It really snuck up on me that it's been half a decade already. I was like, wow, I feel like I just started this thing.
Do you fear running out of topics? Do you think that at some point that you're going to have to quit doing the podcast because you no longer have anything you feel you can talk about?
I mean, I feel like there's always going to be something to talk about because, like, the only thing is I worry it's going to just get down to pop culture, like movies or TV shows, and that'll be all that I have left to cover. So I do worry about that. So I am trying to, and I don't want to, and it's not there's anything wrong with that. There's plenty of podcasts that just focus on that, but I would like to have some sort of variety. Like, I don't want it to, I would like people to be able to tune in throughout the year and be like, oh, here he's talking about a Christmas carol. Here he's talking about a Christmas tradition. Here he's talking about a Christmas movie, you know, something where there's some variety to what I'm talking about. So I don't really worry about running out of ideas. I just worry about, like, soon the ideas will all be vaguely, you know, they will be the same top, it'll be the same type of idea over and over again. But I feel like every time I think of that, every time I have that worry, I come up with something that I'm like, whoa, there's something I wanted to talk about and I haven't had a chance to, so I'm gonna dig into that. Or even sometimes here's something tangentially related to Christmas that I can talk about and you know, and make it Christmas now. Like, this is like, just like Christmas tends to do, this is ours now.
Yep. Okay, I asked you about your expectations when you first started. Have you reached those expectations, any expectations you had with the podcast?
I mean, I was hoping people would listen, and that has happened. So that bare bones minimum, like I thought it was going to be like crickets, especially like when it's like January, February, March. I figured like, oh, and I figured listenership would just drop off to nothing. Like, because, you know, who's in the mood for Christmas in April? Turns out, enough people. One of the best reviews I got though was like, I'm not a big Christmas fan, but I enjoy listening to this podcast. I'm like, well, what else is there? I mean, that is entirely, I mean, it's on one hand, it's like, well, then why are you listening? But on the other hand, it's like, well, thank you. Apparently I did something to make a topic that is not palatable for you enjoyable enough for you to listen every month. So I appreciate that I was able to convert somebody.
Well, exactly. I mean, maybe not convert them, but I mean, you got them listening to Christmas stuff when they're not a huge Christmas fan. That's a win.
Yeah.
Another thing I really like about your podcast is your imaginary listeners that kind of sound like whoever, Kermit or Darth Vader or Mickey, but for copyright reasons, isn't Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly.
I love those guys. How did you come up with those guys? I mean, obviously, I know you're a huge Disney fans. So
I am a huge Disney freak and Muppets. I mean, technically the Muppets are owned by Disney, but before that I was always a big Muppet fan. And I do an impression of Kermit the Frog. That is not amazing. But when I was, I think it was one of the first, it was like a first or second episode where I needed somebody to bounce something off of in the way I had structured what I was writing. And I just did this voice. And so I think in the moment I called myself imaginary listener who sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog. And I was like, that could be a funny recurring bit. And then I don't know why I started expanding it to other people, because I brought George Bailey in for some, well, mostly because that's a pretty easy impression to do of Jimmy Stewart. Like, let me tell you something. It's not really. I say it's an easy impression. It doesn't sound like him. It sounds like other people's bad impressions of Jimmy Stewart, but it gets the job done.
Oh, exactly.
And then it just took on a light. Like, now I'm like, oh, I can write for these characters and have like running bits going on in the background, or sometimes running bits that take the entire year of the show, where like George Bailey had ditched out because we were talking about a Die Hard for so long. And then he came in super angry that we were talking about Die Hard and not It's a Wonderful Life. And so that was because I'd always planned to end that year with It's a Wonderful Life. So that kind of stuff is fun, where you like, you're trying to seed something all the way through the year of the shows. And especially because I know a lot of people binge listen, like they start in October and they just listen to the shows all at once. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, it's probably enjoyable for them when something is like, it's seeding all the way through. Whereas if you're listening every month, I guess it's enjoyable both ways, because you're like, wait, I remember this from back in January.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even going back and listening to them, it's fun to listen. How many actual imaginary listeners do you do? I know you said George, you said Kermit. I've mentioned Darth Vader.
Darth Mickey. That's two different characters, not Darth Mickey. Prospector guy. He's not... Oh, Russian guy. He's a favorite of mine, just because I love to do this voice. It is again, not very good.
Yeah, I always think of like Armageddon with those Russian.
Yes!
American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan.
All made in Taiwan! So Bing? Six. What's that?
Bing
oh, Crosby. Yeah, Ghost of Bing Crosby, baby.
Yeah, that's a recurring one that I have fun when you do that. I mean, you bring him in such fun ways. It's I like listening to it.
That was another one where I seated him like the year before when I talked about Andy Williams, so that I could preparation for talking about Bing Crosby a year later. Cause I was like, I know I got to talk about Bing Crosby on this podcast at some point. And that is entirely based on Kevin Smith on his show Smodcast did an impression of Bing Crosby, and it's not safe for work at all. But I was like, that is a funny way to do his voice. And my impression of Bing Crosby is almost entirely based on that.
You're talking Kevin Smith, like Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith.
I talk about it like everybody knows the work of Kevin Smith, but yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
Where do you see taking your podcast in the future now? I mean, obviously we talked about your worries about it. Where do you foresee taking Can't Wait for Christmas?
I definitely want to do more interviews with people, because I feel like we can talk to other people about their thoughts about Christmas. And this new thing I'm experimenting with this year seems to be going pretty well, where I created an original story and we've dramatized it. We had the listeners come in and do voices. Mm-hmm. If for anybody who's not aware, it's called, it's basically, my idea was, a bunch of people say Die Hard is a Christmas movie and a bunch of people say Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie, but everybody agrees Hallmark Christmas movies are Christmas movies. So what if you had Die Hard in a Hallmark Christmas movie? And that was the genesis for the movie, the made-for-podcast Christmas movie called A Bomb for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm having fun with that. I mean, are you going to wrap this Bomb for Christmas up by Christmas this year, like maybe the 25th of November? Or what's the plans for wrapping that up?
So I made a trailer for it. I taught myself Adobe After Effects so I could make a trailer that I could put online. And I posted it on our Facebook page, and soon it'll be on our Twitter and our Instagram. But at the very end of it, I put all the dates. And so I committed myself to wrap this thing up by December 10th.
Okay.
So every other episode is going to come out. Like my show comes out on the 25th. So there's an episode, there's a what I call now a chapter of the movie on the end, or once in the beginning, usually at the end of every episode. And so it'll be the 25th, the 25th, the 25th. But then December, I usually do my show early, because if I put out a show on December 25th, most people will download it after Christmas. So I try and do one or two episodes in December. So I've committed my December episode to be December 10th, and that will be the finale of A Bomb for Christmas.
Okay, December 10th, we can expect to wrap up. Are you going to do like a bonus episode in December again too? I know you've done that in the past.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
I know you've done like the thank you and kind of a wrap up, but are you going to do like a full fledged episode after Bomb is done before Christmas?
Yeah, so there'll be a regular episode, which Bomb will be at the end of. I will probably also put out an episode where it's just all of a Bomb for Christmas together in one thing, so that if somebody wanted to listen to it, they could. Maybe that's what December 10th will be, and then my actual bonus episode will be after that. I'm not sure, but there will definitely be a regular episode of the show, and then usually a day or two before Christmas, I'll do a very short bonus episode that's usually just the imaginary listeners goofing around.
Yeah, that's always fun when they get together and trying to get their minds coordinated together. You had one episode too where all the imaginary listeners actually ran the show. You kind of walked out of it. And
yes.
Over.
That was one of those like a couple days before Christmas bonus episodes where I just like, I leave and the imaginary listeners take over. I'm like, lock up when you're done. I think I said something like that. Last year, I think Kermit the Frog and the Ghost of Bing, or excuse me, the imaginary listener that sounds like Kermit the Frog. If Disney's listening, which they're not. Oh, right. I forgot I'm not on my own show. That's all I was meant to say, that Disney's not monitoring me. But anyway, the imaginary listener sounds like Kermit the Frog and the alleged ghost of Bing Crosby sang Little Drummer Boy together.
Yeah, I remember that. Kind of like Bing and
David Bowie.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That was a good one too. So many great memories of your podcast. I mean, they all kind of blur together, but it's always fun. Like I say, the outtakes too. And I remember an outtake of yours that you were struggling to get a voice down.
Well, like I remember why it was one. I think it was the the night before Christmas, visit from St. Nicholas, and I was doing like a court battle between, or maybe it was no. Sorry, it wasn't that. I mean, yes, that did happen, but I'm actually thinking of it was like the pitch meeting for turning Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from a 2-minute song into an hour long movie with like three or four more original songs in it. And so I was being like the pitch guy and the studio head. And I realized midway through, I'm like, their voices sound almost exactly the same. Like I am not doing, like I need to do something different for one of them. And I think that might've been the outtake you're talking about, where I'm just like, these voices, like I might as well just be talking as me. Like I'm Robert De Niro. I am not.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. That's your imagination of what happened for Rankin Bass, basically. That's
exactly, yes.
That was fun. Is there any inspirations for your voices? I mean, that aren't the normal, like the well-known ones, like the ones that sound like Kermit or Mickey or them. Like, where do you get your inspiration to try voices, like the not so well-known ones?
I feel like The Simpsons, a lot of the voice, I mean, all the voice actors on The Simpsons are excellent. And like they do like Harry Shearer does a bunch of different voices. Hank Azaria does a bunch of different voices. And like, you know, sometimes they'll be talking to each other. Family Guys too is the same way. Seth MacFarlane will be talking to him. Like Brian and Stewie are talking to each other. Be like, that's the same. Oh, and the Muppets are also the same thing. Cause I remember one time like Kermit is singing a duet with Rolf. And I'm like, that's both Jim Henson.
Right.
And like, and it sounds distinct enough. And then at one point they're singing along with each other. I'm like, this, like I was just singing like in the 70s, that must've been so technically difficult. Cause not only is he doing the voice, but he's doing the Muppeteering for both of them and like, you know, mixing it all together. I just imagine that had to be super difficult, but just like listening to the way like people adjust their voices or, you know, like a lot of the very silly voices on The Simpsons. Like there's that guy that hey buddy, what are you doing over here? Like that guy. Like I don't know. Right. I don't know
like
who
the
does
New York
it.
Accent guy.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Futurama too, which is a lot of the same. You know, Joe DiMaggio, not Joe DiMaggio. That's the baseball player, right?
Yeah.
John DiMaggio, I think is the voice actor's name.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about about your podcast or anything you'd like to promote or anything like that?
No, just A Bomb for Christmas is our big thing this year. Unfortunately, people seem to be reacting pretty positively to it. And I'm really happy that the listeners who have, volunteered to do the voice acting are so happy to be involved with it. It's just been a lot of, it's one of those things where it's like, you write it one way and then the actor will send me the voice. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of saying it that way. That makes the scene better.
Well, this has been fun. I enjoyed having you.
I enjoyed being had.
You get that a lot, don't you? You get to be had a lot, don't you?
I get. Yes. I'm not sure.
That didn't quite work out like you wanted it to.
I will have to check with counsel on this one.
Oh, yeah. It's always so much fun to talk to you and so much fun to listen to you. And I thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. It's very humbling to hear, but thank you.
That's Tim Babb from Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you have not yet listened to his segments of A Bomb for Christmas, here's a short trailer to give you an idea of what he's doing. Then go back and listen to his episodes to get the whole thing up to date.
Holly is a dedicated cop.
I'm sorry, honey. I've been really focused on a big case here.
I just wish the bad guys didn't spend more time with you than I do.
She's getting some time off for Christmas, whether she wants it or not.
It's Christmas. Take some of those days off you never use and spend some time at home in Port Caldwell.
Now she's headed back to her small town.
The Port Caldwell Christmas Festival celebrates the best in us.
And finally spending Christmas with her husband.
Coffee and a Christmas cookie down at Betty's.
I never say no to Betty's coffee.
Meet you downstairs.
But what happens when her job follows her home?
Bobby, are you in here? The door just locked behind me.
Welcome to the Christmas party. So glad you could stop by.
Now, instead of celebrating with her husband, she'll have to save him.
Okay, Holly, you're trapped in a building. There's a bomb in the building, and Bobby's in the building.
But can she save the day, save her marriage, and save Christmas at the same time?
There is no point in hiding, Detective.
Come on, Yakov Smirnoff. Give me some clues to where that bomb is.
The Can't Wait for Christmas podcast presents a made-for-podcast Christmas movie that can best be described as Die Hard in a Hallmark movie.
Take some days off. Help Bobby with the festival.
Tune in each month for...
You've got to be kidding me!
Oh, Mother Russia!
A Bomb for Christmas.
You had better hurry, Mrs. McTernan. There is not much time left.
New chapters premiering on the 25th of each month. Find them at CantWaitForChristmasPod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got a lot of nerve talking to me like that, Griswold. I wasn't talking to you.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Christmas Podcasts podcast. A big thanks to Tim Babb for talking with me this week. We talked deep into the night about a wide variety of topics, not all of them related to Christmas. I had high expectations of this being a fun conversation, and I was not disappointed. Join me next week as I talk with Chris and Chris from the Christmas Time in the City podcast. I can't wait to talk with someone about my number one place to visit during Christmas, New York City. I would like to thank all the other podcasters as well that are on our website for sharing their love of Christmas with us and all the listeners out there. I'd like to thank Jeff Westover of My Merry Christmas for not only helping me put this podcast together, but for all the other behind-the-scenes things he does as well. And I'd especially like to thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm always looking for new and interesting Christmas podcasts, so if you have a Christmas podcast you'd like me to listen to, or if you have a Christmas podcast that you host that you'd like to have us feature, just email me at sean@christmaspodcast.com. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, as in Sean Lennon, and let me know. You can also let me know what you think of this podcast as well, or if you'd like to come and talk to us about your Christmas podcast. I also encourage you to visit ChristmasPodcast.com and review any or all of the podcasts we have there. We also have the links to those podcasts so you can download all of their episodes and listen to them at your leisure. You can find Christmas Podcast podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Once again, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Christmas Podcast podcast. And remember, stay safe, keep the spirit of Christmas in your heart, and if you need me, I'll be in the corner of the Shispering Pines, sipping on some eggnog, listening to Christmas podcasts. ChristmasPodcast.com is a proud member of the My Merry Christmas family of websites, including MyMerryChristmas.com, the internet's largest Christmas website, and the longest celebration of Christmas online. It's all Christmas, all year.
Never done this before because you're driving like an absolute pro who makes a lot of mistakes.